Of course, the focal part of our worship service is the gathering round God's precious word, and therefore we open the scriptures tonight in the book of Revelation. And we read some verses in the book of Revelation, and we turn to a familiar passage of God's word, and that is the book of Revelation chapter 21. I want to speak this evening upon a subject that the Lord has touched my heart and just spoken to my heart afresh in and to. And it's concerning the amazing future for the child of God. And friend, I want us to just search the scriptures tonight. I want us to hear a word from the Lord as we think about the amazing future for the child of God. We're not home yet. We're not home, but praise God, we're going home. Hymn writer said, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Some of you are out of Christ. You're held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone, but we want you over there. So we're turning to Revelation chapter 21, and we'll read the first 8 verses of this passage of God's word. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, and New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word for his name's sake. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to thy word this evening, and we ask of thee that thou wilt truly bless thy word to our hearts. We pray that thou wilt, Lord, just minister to the needs of this congregation. Thou knowest, as our brother was already praying, there are those who are hurting, that those are God whose hearts are heavy, that those are God that as far as each day comes, that Lord, they don't know how they're going to face it, but we thank thee that thou hast said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And we pray that thou wilt bless thy word now to our hearts and help us to study thy word. Help us, Lord, to just keep to the scriptures and help us to rejoice that there's a word from the Lord. And I pray that thou wilt encourage us, that thou wilt strengthen us in the things of God. We pray for any who know not the Savior and they're not bound for heaven. We pray in Jesus' name that this night, that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt convict them, that thou wilt, God, get them beyond man and beyond other things and get their eyes upon Christ alone, and that this night they might be gloriously and wonderfully saved. Do a mighty thing, Lord. Do a great thing amongst us this evening. Father, we're looking to thee, for vain is the help of man. And so to this end, we commit ourselves to thee. Bless us and encourage us and do us good. For we pray in Jesus' precious and his lovely name and glory's sake. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and of course you'll understand, is the climax of the entire Bible story. We started in the book of Genesis, where it tells us right from the beginning. And yet we come to the book of Revelation. It is in that book that God brings it all to a climax. right from Genesis, where God purposed to have fellowship with a people and with his people. Revelation brings us to that wonderful theme, where that fellowship with the people of God will be eternal. You'll notice in verse number 1 here of chapter 20:21, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And you'll find that in this passage of God's word, you'll find new things. You'll find a new heaven, you'll find a new earth. You'll find it says in verse number 3, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Here's a new people. And then, of course, in verse number 5, it says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now, of course, you'll say to me, well, listen, preacher, but why did it say in the book of Revelation, why did it say a new heaven and a new earth? Well, of course, that's what God purposed, and that's what God promised his people. He promised them a new heaven and a new earth. For example, turn back with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, and then chapter 66. And in Isaiah chapter 65, in verse number 17, it says this, for behold, that is chapter 65, Isaiah, verse 17, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And so therefore it says, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Then go to chapter 66 of the book of Isaiah, and you'll find in verse number 22, it says this, for as the new heavens and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. You see, whenever God created this world, and God made the universe, and God made all that is that we see and the things that we don't see, the planets that you and I cannot see with the natural eye. When God finished his creation and God made man and he looked upon his creation, it says this, it was very good. You remember in the book of Genesis in the chapter 1 where it tells us there, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and without void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then we have the 6 days of creation where God made and God called the evening and the morning, the first day and the evening and the morning, the second day and so forth. And so God finished all that he had made. And when God had finished that original creation, it says it was very good. But friend, you read in the book of Genesis, and you'll find that the devil brought sin into this world. And our first parents sinned in this old world. And instead of a place of joy and happiness and a place where we could have eternal bliss, we find that there was ushered into God's beautiful world a decay, a corruption, and the sentence of sin. In actual fact, the Bible tells us that you and I, in this old body that we are in, we groan. And you know, we're waiting for the redemption of the body. But the Bible goes on to say, just if you turn to Romans chapter 8, not only does it say that the body groans, but it says here in chapter 8, well, let's look at verse 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And then look at verse 22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And so we find that the whole creation groaneth and is in pain until now. There's another little interesting verse over in the book of when we think not only of creation that was stained by the sin, but in the book of Job chapter 15. And verse 15, it says this. It says, behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. Even the very heavens, it says, are not clean in God's sight. But thank God tonight I want to tell you that's not the end of the story. The Bible tells us that God has promised us, and that's our theme this evening, the glorious future for the child of God. And God has promised that those who are saved, those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, those who are saved by the sovereign grace of God and resting in Christ alone, thank God there is a new heaven and a new earth, a new dwelling place for God's people. And this is what the Bible says, and God shall dwell with them. They shall be his people, Revelation 23 or 21 verse 3. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and shall be their God. And then, of course, it goes on to tell us in chapter 22 and verse number 4, and they shall see his face. Thank God we're going to see the Savior. Not as we imagine him to be, but the children of God are going to see the Savior as he really is. You know, we struggle so often in this old world in which we're living. And I believe there are many of God's people who are struggling tonight. And my, they look around them and God's children are saying, you know, I'm glad this world's not my home because I wouldn't want to be here forever. Yes, it is true. It's interesting because it is true that we fight for life. Because that's how God has made us. We fight for life. But friends, let me tell you, there comes a moment. I always think of our wee sister, Annie Dobbin. And Annie, you always said, you know, her wee body was so tired. And before she would pull the blind down and pull curtains across, she would look up into the heavens and she would say, maybe tonight, Lord, maybe tonight. She was just looking, she was longing to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the Bible says in verse number 2, not only is there a new heaven, new earth, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And friend, let me tell you, this is a home fit for the bride. And I'll tell you why it's fit for the bride. Because it's the bridegroom that has made it. The bridegroom is the one who has prepared it. Who is the heavenly bridegroom? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the bride? It is the church of Christ. And thank God, you know, whenever a young man is intending to get married and people say, well, where are you going to live? And quite often the bride will say, well, you know, my husband or my intended, I've left that in his hand. And he's hoping, or she's hoping that he'll have some nest that they can settle down in. But friend, let me tell you, God is, in his word, God has told us the bride of Christ will dwell in the city. And I want to tell you, the city is suitable for the bride because it is the bridegroom that has prepared it. John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then the Lord Jesus goes on to say, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, that's preparing the place for his bride. Then thank God, he says, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so here in the book of Revelation, we have the consummation of all of God's purposes and all of God's plan in this new beginning. Now notice it says here in verse number 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle is with man. But you know the difference about it? You remember somebody else who heard the voice? And my, there was not the reaction that we have whenever we read this. It says, I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them, and God will be their God. My, what a thrill. What an excitement that God and his people are going to be together for all eternity. And God's going to dwell with them, and they are going to dwell with him forever. Yes, he heard a great voice out of heaven. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden that God had placed Adam? Do you remember the Bible says the voice of the Lord God came walking in the cool of the day? And Adam wasn't excited in hearing that voice. Adam wasn't thrilled by hearing the voice of God. In actual fact, when Adam heard the voice of God, the Bible says that Adam was afraid. And he ran from God, and he hid from God, and he clothed himself. He tried to clothe himself, with those fig leaves, because he was naked before God. Praise God, listen. The blood has washed all our sins away. And when we hear that voice of God say, come up higher, thank God there'll be no fear. We'll not run away. We'll not run in fear. We'll not cow in fear whenever we hear the voice of God and say, my child, it's time to come home. No, friend, what a blessed calling. What a wonderful call from the Savior, that voice of the Master to tell us. You see, praise God, he makes all things new. In verse number 6 it says, and he said unto me, it's done. I am Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Notice what he says there. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and it's done. Friend, listen, you and I can rely upon this. This is not fiction I'm talking about tonight. This is not God trying to fool us, because God is telling us and he's giving us his precious word here. He says in verse number 5, and he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. They're real tonight. You can depend upon this. Thank God you can rest your eternity upon this. His word's true and faithful. Brother and sister, tonight, what we're going to look at tonight, it can thrill our hearts as we note what God has prepared for them that love him. Now, in this passage of God's word, and we have looked at times past, and you know, sometimes we don't dwell enough in heaven or on the place of the family of God. But it says there in verse number 1, it says, the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And you know, the things that God leaves behind, things that will never be able to enter into heaven. And the first one is very interesting, because it says that there shall be no more sea. There shall be no more sea. Now, let's just remember where John is at this time. Let's get this picture. John is on an isle of Patmos. And John is exiled on that Isle of Patmos. Friend, listen, the Isle of Patmos was confinement without walls. Confinement without walls. Do you know what the confinement was? Sea. Surrounded by the sea. And so therefore, we find that this island was a small island. It was 10 miles. They suggest that it's 10 miles in length. It's 6 miles that is wide. And people were incarcerated there upon that island. And to be quite honest, whenever they were incarcerated on that island, there was no way back. They couldn't get back. And many people, when they went to that island, were put there on the island, just as John was exiled on that island, friend, they would die there. And so therefore, the sea had a significance for John. And so God says, listen, and said, this new heaven, this new earth, the former things are passed away. He says, there shall be no more sea. I know that sometimes we get a good memory, especially when, you know, when you get older, you remember things of the past. One of my happiest memories in my childhood was going to the excursion. And Mom and Dad, they never had time to take us to the excursion. They were always working on the farm. But My Aunt Lizzie had no family of her own, and Aunt Lizzie used to take us to the excursion. Now, we loved going, Aunt Lizzie, for the excursion for many different reasons. First of all, Aunt Lizzie was very good, because she always gave us money to spend. And she was very kind to us. And then she used to take us to the White House. And she, at that time, there was a place where you sat down and you ate, and everything was done in perfection. In actual fact, it was sterling silver. And here we were, just a wee bunch of farm kids, and my Aunt Lizzie would always bring us into this place. Now, I remember one of my sisters, and not name her, but one of my sisters one day, we're sitting in the White House, and we're sitting with all surrounded with all this sterling silver, and she cried out in the midst of it. You thought it was a microphone was put in her mouth. She says, "Oh, Aunt Lizzie, look at the wee tin jug." And you know, my aunt was, oh, she was mad. She said, "Would you keep quiet? You think you never were brought up at all?" It wasn't a wee tin jug. It was the best of sterling silver. We love to go. We love to go down. And then she would take us down to the seaside. And whenever we went down there, we went down to the paddling pool, and we went down there to the seaside. We just loved just to paddle there. We just loved to play around the sea. You know, there's something special about the sea. In actual fact, there's something enthralling about the sea. There's a serenity about the seaside. There's a peace around the seaside. I must confess, I remember, I used to love to go down to Portrush, and whenever it was a very stormy night. And I used to love to go down in the car and just screw down the window, and the waves would come lashing against the rocks. And there was something about it. Because you'll sit there and you put on the warm, you know, the heat in the car, and you'd hear these angry waves, and you'd have a peace in your heart, and you'd sometimes sing to yourself, and there was just a serenity about it all. But friend, there's negatives about the sea. The Bible says there shall be no more sea. For example, you know you can sink in the sea. You can sink in the sea. And many a man has done it. But there's no more sea in heaven. Do you remember Peter? Do you remember Peter whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was going there in the Sea of Galilee? And the Lord Jesus Christ, he came walking to them on the water. And Peter and the disciples were in their boat. And when they saw this figure walking in the water, the Bible says that they were afraid. And then when they realized that the Lord Jesus spoke up and said, "It's I, be not afraid. You have nothing to be afraid about." What did Peter say? He said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee, walking on the water." What was the water? The sea. And Peter, the Lord just simply said to him, "Come, Peter, Peter, come." And so Peter got out of the boat. And whenever Peter got out of the boat, he came walking to Jesus. And then, friend, there was a storm. There was a storm blew up. Peter got his eyes upon the waves. And he took his eyes of the Lord. And when he started to take his eyes of the Lord, what happened to Peter, friend? You know what? He began to sink. He failed. He took his eyes of the Lord and failed. And as he was going down into the sea, he lifted his eyes back to the Lord because there was nobody else to help him. And he cried out, he says, "Lord, save me." And the Bible says, immediately he stretched forth his hand. And he caught him. Friend, in this old world, we have our failures. And there's not a child of God here but looks back over their life. And friend, be honest before God. There have been times that you have failed. And when you failed the Lord, you've lost your peace and you've lost your joy. And you begin to sink. And sometimes life's experience, you begin to sink into the depths of despair and misery. And you can be overcome with your situation and your failure. But thank God there's no more sinking in heaven. Thank God there's no more failure then. Thank God you'll be like him. You'll be in perfection with the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, don't look to others. You see, Peter, he looked at the waves. And when Peter got his eyes of the Lord and he looked at the waves, he began to sink. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you're looking at somebody else. And friend, let me tell you this. You look to them, and my, you'll begin to feel yourself. My, when you look at them, you'll be disappointed. You get your eyes on them, friend. You could, dear sinner, you could lose your soul by getting your eyes on them. Listen, it's not them you need to get your eyes on. It's the Lord. Get your eyes on him and praise God. Listen, if Peter had kept his eyes, listen, as long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he kept walking to Jesus. It's when he lifted his eyes of Christ, he began to sink. Child of God, you lift your eyes of the Lord tonight, and I'll tell you, you'll begin to sink. But thank God there's no more sea in heaven. There'll be no sinking there. We sing the wee hymn, "From sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise the Lord, he lifted me." There's no more sea, no more sinking. Friend, what did I say to you about the Isle of Patmos? It was confinement without walls. But John was separated because the sea speaks to us of separation. John was there on that Isle of Patmos, and he was separated from all the rest of the believers for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a separation because around that island there was a sea. And if he was to get back to the fellowship of God's people, he'd have to cross the sea. Oh, we live in a world of separation. I think of the soldiers that pack their bags, and you and I think nothing of it, friend, because it's not you and me, isn't it? Think of those soldiers packing their bags and heading off to Afghanistan, friend. And they get on to the, whether it be the ship or whether they be on to the plane, and they fly off to Afghanistan, or they sail off to another place of war. And what separates them from home? The sea. But thank God there's no sea in heaven. There's nothing to separate us from the love of God. Isn't that what Romans 8 said? Didn't Paul say, listen, I'm persuaded about this. There is nothing. And he names a list of things. And he says, I'm persuaded that none of these can separate me from the love of God. And friend, when we get to heaven, there'll not only be nothing to separate us from the love of God, but there'll be nothing to separate us from our loved ones, our beloved of God. What a day of reunion. What a day when God's family gather home in the Father's house. Because that's what Jesus said, I go in my Father's house. I tell you, that's home. And when all of God's children, the last one of God's family, given to Christ before the foundation of the world, and the last one of them arrive at home, hallelujah, and will never part again. We'll never say goodbye in heaven. No parting word shall e'er be spoken in that bright land so fair. But songs of joy and peace and gladness we'll sing forever there. We'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye. But in that land of joy and song, we'll never say goodbye. We'll never walk back to a graveyard again. We'll never enter through the doors of the cemetery again. We'll never carry another little bunch of flowers to put in a loved one's grave. And as you put it on, your heart's aching, because you'd love to see them again. Child of God, let me tell you, we will. Those who are saved, we will see them again. Thank God we will meet them again. Thank God the family of God will gather home in the presence of the Savior. And praise God, there is no more sea. There is no more separation. The family will never break up again. Because you see, there's no more sea. When I think of the sea,
I think not only of people sinking, and many ships have sunk. I think not only of separation, I think of storms. You know, the sea's a dangerous place. Always remember, you know, one of the excursions we went down to Portrush, and our Ballymena congregation went down the very same day. I remember standing there because I'm no good at swimming, and so therefore I would stand and we would play. We usually played most of the time. Some folks would go into the water, but some others would just, we would have different games there on the shore, the sand. But I remember one little lad went in from Ballymena, Clark, from the Clark home. And the wee lad went in to the water, was drowned. Excursion was never the same again, was it? Never could be. But friend, I think of the storms in the sea. You know, the Sea of Galilee was an amazing, and is an amazing sea, because you could go out there quietly in the Sea of Galilee and everything is fine. And listen, it's not a very large Sea of Galilee, but my, when you're in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, a storm can just quickly come up. And you read about the storms in the Bible, and you remember whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was lying at the hinder pound of the ship, and here were staring fishermen that were out in the water many times, and they feared they were going to sink. And they went to the Lord, and they shook the Lord, and they said, "Master, Master, do you not care that we perish?" What was wrong, friend? A storm. And you know, there are tropical storms, and there's hurricanes, and there's tsunamis. Listen, you have watched just the power of water. How it can carry vehicles, just these large vehicles that men, could not lift of themselves, and yet just carries them away just as if it's a little toy thing. Knocks down buildings, knocks down bridges. The devastation of the storms that come. The force of the water. Everything gone. People left with nothing. Destroy. Thank God there's coming a day when the storms are over. And for the child of God, we will have to go through many a storm. Look back over your life. There will be many a storm in the past. And there'll be a storm in the future. But thank God there is one who is in the ship with his people. Praise God. Listen, they could not have sunk in that storm. Why? Because Christ was on board. All it took from the Master, just stood up in the ship and he said this, "Peace be still." That's all it took. Just like that. "Peace be still." What the Bible says? There's a great calm. You see, God gives us peace in the midst of the storm. I'm not suggesting, child of God, that you not have storms to go through. I'm not suggesting there not be hurricanes that you might have to face or tsunamis that you might have to confront. But I'll tell you this. I'm not suggesting, I can state in the authority of God's word, there's not one of them, if you're saved tonight, that you'll ever face alone. Because of Jesus. I must confess, I don't understand it. How that the ungodly man, how that the unsaved person can face the doctor walking in through the door and looking into the face of them and saying, "I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do." I don't understand it whenever the ungodly face the storms of life and they have no anchor. They have no safety from the midst of the storm because they have no Savior. They have no one to hold on to them. And they have no one to hold on to. You see, the ungodly has storms, just the same as everybody else. Man that is born of woman. It doesn't say Christians that are born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. No, it says man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. But thank God, when we have Christ in the vessel, we can smile in the storm. That's not that we say, I'm really enjoying the storm. No, friend, listen, be honest before God. He gives you peace. He is your peace. He is your hiding place. You can hide in the cleft of a rock. You can find safety in Christ and in Christ alone. There shall be no more sea. When I was reading up about this, it said, around the Isle of Patmos, there were sharks. But it says in the Word of God, there shall be no more sea. Well, thank God there'll be no more sharks. You see, you and I have an enemy, friend, the devil. And the devil cannot be everywhere. You see, the devil's not like God. Our brother talked about the Lord, how that God is certainly omnipotent, but also is omnipresent. He is everywhere. There is no place where God cannot be, for he is God. But the devil can't. So how does he energize his power? The demons. The devils. The demons. That's actually the demons. And the demons of hell come up against the people of God. And the demons of God fight the people of God. And the devil, he is the accuser of the brethren. Do you remember Job, that the devil came in right into the presence of God. And he accused God's servant Job. And yet God said he was upright. He was a man that was set apart in his day who loved the Lord. And the devil came as the accuser. But I have good news tonight. Thank God the accuser of the brethren will be cast out. Thank God his days are getting short. And we can rejoice. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, it says this in verse 10, or verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Isn't that lovely? He was cast out. Hallelujah. He was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell on the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short. Praise God, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more sharks. Hallelujah, the devil will be dealt with. And all the demons of hell, friend, thank God they have no power against us. The accuser of the brethren is cast out. There shall be no more sea. But she speaks to me of something else. She speaks to me of sin. Turn to the book of Micah. Little prophecy of Micah. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. And in Micah chapter 7, look at verse number 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thank God when we get to heaven, friend, there's no more sin. Now, you and I know that we can't live in this old world sinless. You and I know that we all sin. And we say that not to our glory, but we say that to our shame. We sin against God in thought and word and in deed so many times. And you know, when we do, we ought to hate our sin. And you know, we see just our failures. But you know, with sin, there comes guilt. There's the guilt of sin. But thank God there's no guilt of sin anymore when we get to heaven. Former things are passed away. You know, whenever a child of God gets to heaven, friend, we'll never know the tinge of conscience or the guilt of sin anymore. And we'll be free from the influences of sin. You see, all around us, there are the influences of sin. And we live in a world that, my, there's so many attractions and people are affected by the sin that surrounds us. And so often, we fall. But praise God, there's no sin in heaven. Not that defileth shall ever enter in. Revelation 21, verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There shall be no more sea. My friend, I only got to the first one. Unfortunately, time is away. But you know, those who are without Christ tonight cannot have this hope. If you're not saved tonight, friend, let me tell you, there shall be the storm. The storm shall break. We said there'd be no sinking, but let me tell you this, the ungodly man, notice verse number 8, but there's a change in the story. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, the lake. There's no sea in heaven. There's a lake in hell. And it's a lake of fire and brimstone. And friend, let me tell you this. The unconverted person will sink in that lake. You ever have a dream? And in the dream, you felt you were falling. And you were falling, and you were falling, and you were falling. And just before you hit the ground, you woke up. They tell me if you didn't wake up, in actual fact, you'd be dead. Your heart couldn't take it. Now, I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor, and so therefore I'm not going to say. But I'll tell you one thing this year. I have had the experience of falling, but praise God, I've always had the experience of waking up. But the unconverted man will sink in hell, forever down in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Separation. Forever, friend. The day the child of God dies and breathes their last, and the unconverted loved one stands at their bedside and takes their hand for the last time and looks into their face. Friend, that's it over. They never meet again. And I hear a lot of foolish talk at funerals. And I hear a lot of foolish talk when people talk about it. You know, when a person maybe has got a sickness and then they said, well, you know, it's better for them. Friend, let me tell you this. If they die without Christ, it's not. Hell's worse than anything they could ever suffer here. Men and women fool themselves in the try to comfort themselves with a false comfort. I'll tell you this. If a man goes to hell and a woman goes to hell, it's eternal separation. Eternal. They'd long to hear another gospel message, but it'll never come. They'll love to hear another gospel invitation. My, they would have raised their hand, but they would never come. And the goodbye you say is a goodbye forever. For it's an eternal separation. The sea speaks of storms. Oh, what an awful storm will break upon the ungodly. For the day of God's wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Listen, God says, read, this is true and faithful. This is real, friend. If you're unsaved tonight, I say in God's name, stop fooling yourself. Stop promising yourself another meeting. Stop promising yourself another gospel opportunity. We know not what a day brings forth. The column can hold your name in a day's time. You and out into God's eternity to face the storms, the tsunami of the wrath of God forever, to die in your sin. The sharks. Listen. The Bible says that he shall say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. To the place prepared for the devil and his angels. You'll be surrounded by the demons of hell. You'll be surrounded by the devil himself, friend, that God has shut up in the damned and the ungodly soul. Fearful and the unbelieving. You, friend, you were the sharks of hell. Sin. Why will you be there? All because of your sin. And dear unsaved person, I say this in all the love of my heart. You'll feel the guilt down in hell of every sin that you've ever committed. The whiplash of the guilt of conscience. Do you remember in hell the rich man died and was buried and he said, I am tormented in this flame. And friend, one of the torments he had was this. He had also five brethren. And he knew they were coming to hell too. And he didn't want them to come. And he talked about repentance. You see, he knew the gospel. But he didn't believe it. My and God for the glorious future for the child of God. But what an awful place for the ungodly. He says, tell my brothers, don't come. I don't want them in hell. I don't want them in hell. But if we could hear from heaven tonight, heaven's company would beckon you. Come. For all things are now ready. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight, and I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will write thy word upon every heart. Let not one in the service tonight leave without Christ. Father, I pray you'll make eternity real. Make eternity real for every soul. Let not one perish in their sin. Then as their heads are bowed and eyes are closed and God's people are praying, I wonder, is there someone here tonight and you say, preacher, this is real serious, isn't it? Yes, it is, friend. I'm not saved. I've heard the gospel so many times, but I'm not saved. Preacher, lead me to Christ. Friend, we would love to. Will you come? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Just one little verse of invitation. That thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, and there's one in the service, upstairs in the gallery, downstairs in the meeting house, listen. You say, point me to Christ. Just your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you indicate that desire? By simply raising that hand above your head, friend, in God's name, stop fooling. The devil's lying to you. The devil's deceiving you. When he tells you there's plenty of time, when the devil's deceiving you to say, put it off, there'll always be a better time. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Backslider, get back to the Lord. Start living right. For Jesus' sake.